from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I'm James. Joining me, Jesse Tapia. Jesse, I think the most difficult thing about not having Kyle here is when we come out of a break, I'm usually just bopping my head, listening to the rejoiner music, like, okay, da 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 da. And then Kyle usually starts talking.
Well, yeah, there's a different workflow, like completely, I feel like.
Oh, you know, there's just totally different workflow.
Even like, because I sit behind the board all day, every day, and stuff like that. But just even like the little things when we're doing the 6 quick thoughts intro and stuff like that, like we're going to break. Usually I don't have like that pod on this board, like the programs that it is or whatever. So I'll forget to take it out and just like the little things, you know?
Yeah, it's all the small things that you forget. And so again, I'm just like, shoot, I got to talk. This is not like, wait, it's my turn to talk. Yeah, so it's just a little different. Like going two breaks, I'm like, whatever, that's fine. I'm watching the clock. I'm like, okay, we probably got to wrap this thing up and go to break. But coming out of breaks, it's always like weird and uncomfortable.
We're trying to play different roles, just like players in the Kings are right now with their injuries, huh?
Ain't that the facts, Jack? Okay, so David asked in the chat during the break, and I figured we would take this, like to the radio side, like let's take it to air. Ham, if the Kings don't make the playoffs, this rookie class appears to be weak. Their draft pick isn't a trade chip. What can Monty do? So I want to take this. I want to break this up into a couple of things. First of all, if you don't make the playoffs, you do have your draft pick. So that's people who are out there. The Kings owe their 2024 draft pick to the Atlanta Hawks, but it's top 14 protected. So if they don't make the playoffs, they don't relay their pick. And so that has its own consequences. Now the Kings can't trade their 2025, 2026, or 2027 picks. They can trade a 2027 with an asterisk on it that says if the 2026 isn't relayed, then we can trade the 2027. But what they can't do is just flat out trade the 2027 or the 2025 or the 2026. It's called the Stepien rule. You're not allowed to trade back-to-back picks, right? But it's more complicated than even that. So this last offseason, we saw the Kings trade their first-round pick. But realistically, they didn't really trade their first-round pick. What they did is they drafted a player for the Dallas Mavericks and then traded him after the new NBA season started on July 1st. So that pick doesn't count as like a Stepien pick, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So even this season where the Kings have, if they do have their pick, which means they did not make the playoffs, a play-in spot is not a playoff spot. If you don't make the play-in, I mean, if you make the play-in but you don't make the playoffs, you're now either the 13th or the 14th pick in the draft, right? That's how it's going to work out for the Kings. So basically what that means is that you're going to have a pick and all your other stuff is tied up, right? And that's going to be a problem because the Kings haven't, I mean, they've been focused on the draft like cursory, but they haven't, and they have scouts out there that are looking at draft prospects that went to the Final Four or the Big Ten tournament or a bunch of the tournament games or like visited specific campuses around the country, because there's always this off chance that you will have this pick. Well, we're now getting to the like reality moment that there's a good chance you could have your pick here, right? And so that's where I want to break this into other things. Like, this rookie class appears to be weak. This rookie class isn't any weaker than any normal draft outside of the top five picks.
Yeah. But also, how much is the 13th or the 14th pick helping you in your build?
Well, it depends, because, you know, we can look at a team like the Pelicans, and you start picking out where Herb Jones went in the draft, and you start looking at where who's the small forward that torched the Kings last night? Trey Murphy.
Yeah, Trey Murphy.
Yeah, look where Trey Murphy was drafted. Like, you can find great players. This draft, very specifically, is weak at the top. It's very weak at the top. There is not a consensus number one pick. And, you know, what is it? Olivier Saar or Alexander Saar, one of the Saar brothers, is at the top of the draft. He'll be one or two or three. But it's not a particularly good draft at the top. That doesn't mean that it's any different than any other draft.
And what I mean, too, is like, you could find a good player, sure, but like, maybe he's a good player 3 years from now. It's kind of like the Kings are trying to win now. We're waiting for Keegan to develop still. He was the fourth pick and stuff like that. So it's more so like, can you wait for the 13th, 14th pick, whoever that is, to develop for a couple years, you know?
Yes.
They need guys who can impact now.
No, I totally get you. And so that's where I'm going to come back to like this weird Stepien thing. The Kings can do the exact same thing that they did last year, where they do trade the 14th pick in the 2024 draft. They don't trade the pick before the draft. What they do is they draft a player for another team, and then they trade that pick, which is exactly last year they gave up Rashawn Holmes' contract and the 2024 pick for, the draft rights to someone who will never come over from overseas, from the Dallas Mavericks. So the Kings can still do that, and there's still going to be value, because as we get deeper and deeper into draft season, there are teams that start having workouts and start like watching tape and they go to the combine and all that stuff, and they fall in love with players. And so there could be a player at number 13, at number 14, at number 17, number 18, that somebody is like, oh man, I got to move up in the draft because I want this guy really bad. And that happens every year. We see a guy who's a number 22 pick in the draft in most mock drafts. It goes all the way up to number 8. And that's because like teams fall in love. So I think very specifically, you start looking at this draft, and to Jesse's point, you don't really have a bunch of time to wait for a player to develop, but there's also in the top end of the draft typically is where your freshmen and a lot of like international players go, but also young players. It's like the top 10 is usually where gambling happens. The next 10 picks is where you'll find a lot of sophomores, a lot of juniors who are starting to develop and starting to become who they're going to be as players. And a lot of times the picks in the middle are further along.
That's where the Miami Heat eat. I mean, they got guys like Tyler Herro and Jaime Jaquez.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it's even like, if you look at Chris Duarte is what, the 12th pick in the draft. A guy like we talk about, oh, this is horrible, they're not going to be able to get anything. A couple of years ago, they drafted a kid named Tyrese Halliburton with the 12th pick in the draft. 12th pick. Like the year that they drafted De'Aaron Fox, they traded the 10th pick for the 15 and the 20. The number 10 pick was Zach
Collins?
Collins is the number 10 pick. The number 13 pick and number 14th pick, Donovan Mitchell at 13, Bam Adebayo at 14. So
maybe we hold on to that pick then. I don't know.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Look, that was a particularly good draft. You know, John Collins goes number 19. Kyle Kuzma goes number 27. OG Anunoby goes number 23. The Kings, of course, take Justin Jackson at number 15 and Harry Giles at number 20. And both of those picks were, you know, just flat out, they weren't good picks,
yeah.
Unfortunately. But that doesn't mean that you can't find value. And not only that, but it doesn't mean that other teams aren't going to say, I see someone in that range that I've got to have.
Yeah, I don't think if the Kings miss the playoffs, I don't think they're like necessarily doomed. Oh, the build is messed up. Now money can't trade this or trade that. It just makes it maybe a little bit more difficult, but I don't think it's like red alert or anything like that.
Well, no, it makes it complicated.
Yeah.
Right? And again, I could see the Kings doing the exact same thing they did last year where they get to draft night and they draft somebody for someone else and they trade that pick for a player that matters more. And I'd even go back to, there was a year where the Kings they signed Marco Bellinelli, right? And Marco Bellinelli did not work out at all. It's the year they signed Kosta Kufis, Marco Bellinelli, and Rajon Rondo.
And Marco Bellinelli forgot how to shoot.
Okay, Marco Bellinelli forgot how to play basketball for a year, and then he was great the next year, right? But the deal is that when they got to that offseason, the Kings were able to take Marco Bellinelli and trade him for the number 22 pick in the draft to the Charlotte Hornets. The Charlotte, well, maybe they're the Bobcats. I'm not sure what they were.
The team of Charlotte, sure.
The team of Charlotte. So they trade, and that's where they draft Malachi Richardson, right, at number 22. Again, don't worry about the fact that they draft a Malachi who ends up being a bust. Just think to yourself, that's the type of that's probably a little bit lower player than what the Kings could get with the 14th. The Kings can get a better player. Marco Bellinelli are better. So you should be able to get a rotational player for the 14th pick in the draft, no matter what. Even in a suspect draft, there's going to be somebody who goes, you know what? I would take Chris Duarte and player X and your 14th pick, and I'll give you not clearly an all-star level player, but a player, you know, I don't know, better than Dorian Finney-Smith.
Well, it's like Casey says, unless or whatever, kind of guy, you're probably going to get a guy with warts. Not necessarily like what you want or anything like that, but a guy who come in and still help.
Well, yeah, but I also think, like, what if like a team like Toronto looks at who's the guy that they picked up, Bruce Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
Middle of the season. What if they, you know what, well, we would take the 14th pick for Bruce Brown.
Yeah, well, that's different.
And he's owed $22 million, so you got to come up with contracts to make the deal work. And then he's a unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, so you're going to have to work that out. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, the 14th pick in the draft could easily yield you something. And it doesn't matter if it's a great draft or not. It's still a draft. There's still players that you find.
Somebody's going to be good out of this draft.
Well, yeah. I mean, look at the Ben McLemore draft, which is absolutely trash. The whole top 10, well, the top 9 are trash. And then you start getting into guys like CJ McCollum, you get Steven Adams, and oh, by the way, Giannis Antetokounmpo goes like number 15.
Yeah, CJ McCollum's a good player, huh?
Yeah, he's a little bit of a good player. All right. We're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk about keys to a victory. How do the Kings beat the Phoenix Suns, move back into a position of power in the play-in? We'll have that next here on The Insiders.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress.
Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining us, Charlie. Charlie O, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
I just wanted to drop in real quick. Got some great news. Starting Monday.
Oh.
Ooh, we got news?
I know what this is.
Starting Monday. Going over a 2-week period of time. 10 people who listen to ESPN 1320 are going to win $500 each.
Each.
And it is the easiest contest in the world. All you have to do is be listening sometime just after 11 o'clock each day, Monday through Friday. James and Kyle are going to give out a keyword. And then sometime just after 3 p.m., D'Lo and KC are going to give out another keyword. Then you go to the website, ESPN1320.com, such a tough website to remember. You enter those keywords, and sometime just after 4:15 p.m., we are going to spin the wheel, pop the balls, do whatever it is we do magically, and we're going to select a winner, and somebody is going to be $500 richer. Now, if you add that all up, yes, we are giving away $5,000 over 2 weeks. 10 people are going to be winners of $500. That's it. You know, no trivia, no have to, you know, travel to Alviso to get the clue, anything else. Listen for 2 keywords, enter and win. Can we make it any easier?
So you're going to have 2 chances to win. You'll have a code for the insiders and a code for D'Lo and Casey. Those are all going to be lumped in together into one pool. And so you got 2 chances to win.
Nope.
Each day?
You have 1 chance to win. You have to have the 2 keywords.
1 chance to win, but 2 chances to enter to win.
Yes.
There we go.
There you go. So there you go. So there's that. Then also want to let everybody know, baseball's back this weekend. Mm. Saturday, 5:30 p.m., Padres Dodgers. Sunday night baseball back, starting off with baseball tonight at 3 p.m. Gosh. We're going to go with Padres and Dodgers again. I don't know why, Machado, Betts, I don't know, something like that. So anyway, we got baseball back this weekend, but also, most importantly, starting Monday, somebody is going to be $500 richer.
Yeah, come
so,
with some money.
Good luck. And we also have to say, go Kings, please.
Look at that. Charlie said Dodgers and Betts in one word, in one sentence. Hey.
Hey, be nice to show, hey, okay?
Just saying.
Show Aiden do it.
Okay, so we let Charlie come in and bust in and give us good news. Next week is going to be wild, and it's going to be Monday through Friday. And actually, it's going to be 2 weeks straight. We'll give you a code. You're going to go to the website just like you would have with our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game, which we still have to give away one of those today. But this should be absolutely spectacular. People are asking about tax money. I believe that if it's under $500, $500 or less, it's, you don't have to claim it.
I don't know nothing about that. Don't come to me for that advice.
I don't know all the rules with that. But yeah, this is amazing stuff. And so look forward to that next week.
The chat is also asking for a flag on Charlie. We did not throw it, but we did see the play.
We did see the play. I saw the play. Yes. Yeah. See? Okay, so let's dive into the Sacramento Kings. They They've got two games left in the season. Game 81 tonight, they play the Phoenix Suns at Golden 1 Center. It's a 7:30 start, I believe. This is a big game. It's for all the marbles. If you win this game, you give yourself an opportunity, just like if you enter to win in our cash giveaway next week on here on ESPN 1320, you give yourself an opportunity to hold on to a 7 seed in the play-in tournament, which means you would host a first-round game at Golden 1. And potentially, if you lost that game, you would also host a second game in the play-in at Golden 1 Center.
Because, well, yeah, with this team, you need all the chances you can get to get in right now.
Well, that's what it is. And I think Mike Brown and De'Aaron Fox both talked about that last night, Jesse. Just like, look, we want to have as many opportunities as possible. What you don't want to do is have two games. You have to win two to get in. You'd rather have two chances to win one to get in, right? And so that's where the Kings are at right now. The injury report for the Sacramento Kings is not out yet, but we do know Kevin Huerter, Malik Monk will not play. Keegan Murray has been listed as questionable the last two games with a sore calf. I wouldn't be shocked to see him on the injury report again. The Kings have kind of been sort of upfront with those. I'd also say that De'Aaron Fox rolled his ankle last night and was moving gingerly last night. I wouldn't doubt that his injury is at least listed on the injury report, but I would be surprised if he didn't play unless he just really, really had a really bad night.
Yeah, I mean, he rolled his ankle last night, and I think it was the very next play. He gets the ball, and he's getting beat up by Jonas Valanciunas. So we'll see what he decides or whatever. I'm almost positive he plays today.
Yeah.
He knows what's at stake and stuff like that.
Yeah, he knows. And this is one of those games where they always say, like, if this was a playoff game, would you have played? And this is a playoff game. I mean, straight up, that's what this is for the Sacramento Kings. If they do beat the Phoenix Suns, they would have to beat the Portland Trailblazers on Sunday, and they would have to hope that the Minnesota Timberwolves somehow knock off the Phoenix Suns in order for the Kings to pick up the 7th seed in the play-in. For the Suns, they're coming in healthy. Damian Lee is out, but he's been out for most of the season, and it's just, this is a healthy team that's got two superstars and one star-level player.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a team that has some role players. I think their depth has been an issue throughout the season, but certainly,
you know where their bread and butter's at.
Yeah, they know that, you know, this game is going to be decided by Devin Booker, by Kevin Durant, and by Bradley Beal tonight, most likely. And then maybe a little bit of three-point shooting from the other guys.
Well, you mentioned the health, too. Like, Beal's here, Booker's here, KD's ready to go. Like, this is exactly what they want going into the postseason. Like, yeah, they could care less how everything else turned out before.
It's Grayson Allen is the guy you got to worry about busting you up again tonight.
It's always frustrating to when Grayson Allen goes off against your team.
There's no one I dislike more in the NBA than watching. I mean, not watching him play. Like, just like Grayson Allen's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah. Let's get to keys to victory. Jesse, what do you got for your first key to victory?
Mine are going to be simple today, and I think we all know like what they need. First one, Fox has to carry them. I need Fox to be the leading scorer. I need 30-plus from Fox for this team to have an opportunity to win tonight, I think.
Okay. I fully agree with you. Fox needs to be a superstar, and you know, if he's on a bum ankle, he's on a bum ankle. He knows what's at stake here, and I expect him to come out and give it everything he has, whether he can lead this team to victory or not. I don't think we know. But what we do know is that he's probably the biggest key to anything that they do.
No doubt.
My first key to victory, be a goldfish. And if people don't know what that means forget about what happened yesterday. Goldfish don't have like short-term memories.
The thing is, like, after all these losses and all that, like, you still have opportunities to help yourself still. Like, now you can't make the playoffs, but you can give yourself a chance where you win one of these two games, like, you're automatically in.
There we go. Exactly. I mean, like, you can control your own fate here to a certain degree, especially with Minnesota's going to have a lot to play for on Sunday. And the Suns might just look at this and go, hey, we really don't need to worry about having home court as much as we need to be healthy and get ready for the next set of games. What's your second key?
All right, I need someone to play the Malik Monk role. Keon Ellis did it against OKC. They had an opportunity to win, didn't do enough, obviously didn't that was a game where Sabonis only took 7 shots, but we're past that. I need someone to get that kind of production tonight. I need at least 20-plus from Magnus, from Sabonis, from like HB, Keegan. Someone's got to play that role today.
Okay. I think in this game in particular, you need a 30-piece from De'Aaron Fox. I think you need 20 from Sabonis. I think you need 20 from Keegan Murray. I think you need 18 from Harrison Barnes, and you need Keon Ellis. Well, I would say like the trio of Keon Ellis, Davion Mitchell, and Trey Lyles. Somebody in that group has to get up to like 15.
I can see that happening. I don't think that's too crazy of an ask either.
Yeah, and I think Mike Brown, like, it doesn't matter if second night of a back-to-back, like this whole we got to, you know, go deep type deal. No. Tonight is going to be 7 or 8 guys are playing. That's it. Nobody else is getting on the court.
Are unless, your playoff unless rotation out there?
Yeah, it's going to be full-fledged playoff rotation. Let's see, my second key. Don't get caught up in the moment. Live in it. Like, look, come out there and just, like, put it all out there. Like, this is one of those moments where, you know, where you take a shot. You look across the, you know, like, maybe there's a young lady that you're interested in, and you're like, I don't know if I should ask her out or not. You know what? At some point, if you don't, you're not going to go out with her.
You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Amen.
Wayne Gretzky and Michael Scott.
And Michael Scott. Yes. So this is one of those moments for the Kings where, like, look, you're banged up. You're beat up. You played last night. You lost a bad game last night. You don't have Malik Monk. Things are stacked against you. Just go out there and play. Just whatever happens, happens. If you give everything you have, that crowd will cheer you to no end. They will try to carry you home. And so that's my key there.
All right, my last key, whoever's guarding KD, make it as difficult and uncomfortable for him as you can. Because honestly, like, if KD's going off, Book's playing his game, you're not going to win. Like, you just have to do whatever you can to limit him. I'm looking at Keegan, HB, maybe you could try and stuff like that. But Keegan's kind of got to take charge, I think, guarding KD.
Okay. No, I think it's a great key. That's a very, very difficult player to defend, and you got to find somebody who can slow him down. My final key to victory is get to the basket. This is not a team that has a crazy shot blocker waiting for you. KD can block some shots. Nurkic can block some shots, but I expect Sabonis to get Nurkic in foul trouble like he does every other time. And then once that happens, you have to get to the basket. Davion, Trey Lyles, De'Aaron Fox.
Get downhill
on this team. All right, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Mike Brown's valuable experience argument and some of the other things that are happening with this team and how we feel about them moving into this offseason. So we are the Insiders here on ESPN 1320, brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll be back in just a sec. I don't even know what just happened, Jesse. I've never heard that rejoiner.
Well, this one's up here.
It's up there?
This is like some Street Fighter stuff, or maybe.
I feel like I should be running up a set of stairs in Philadelphia now.
Yeah, that was a good one. Let me see. What is that called?
I don't know what that is.
That is one of the K-pop songs on here. I'm not sure how to pronounce the name of it.
That's a K-pop song?
Yeah.
Now I just envision a bunch of K-pop dudes standing on stairs. Like,
I'm pumped up after that. We're going to kill this last segment.
We are going to kill this last segment. First and foremost, let's get to our Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. Number one, go to ESPN 1320 right now. I don't care what you're doing. Even if you're driving down the freeway, go to ESPN 1320. There's a giant box in the middle of the screen that says Jiffy Lube. Jiffy Lube Fast Break Player of the Game. You're going to click on that button. You are going to enter a keyword, and that keyword will enter you in to an opportunity to win a $100 gift certificate, one of our remaining 3 $100 gift certificates to Jiffy Lube. On top of that, you will be entered into our final drawing for a Sacramento Kings jersey. I don't know what jersey we have left. I have not been on top of that. That is all promotions, and I have nothing to do with any of it. We just get to announce winners when it happens.
We get to do the fun part of it.
We do. And usually Kyle gets to do the fun part. And then we celebrate, right?
Shout out promotions as well.
That's right. So our Jiffy Lube Fast Break player for the game. And I could get some like abuse for this one. But as opposed to going with an opposing player, which would have been C.J. McCollum, because C.J. McCollum thought he was getting drafted by the Sacramento Kings way back when and didn't. 2013, I believe it was. They brought him in three times, including the Monday before the draft, and he thought that he was being drafted here. So he busts up the Kings every time.
Yeah, still thinks about it, huh?
He does. He does still think about it. He's mentioned it to me multiple times that he thought he was getting drafted here. I'm not going with a Pelicans player. We've been dragging Harrison Barnes over the last week, and for good reason. He did not have, let's just be honest, he had a horrible road trip.
Yep.
And it was not good. It was no good at all. But when you show up like he showed up last night, and you get 22 points, and you're active, and you get 5 rebounds, you get 4 assists, and you're part of the reason why the team had any chance to come back and win, that's where I'm going to say, okay, like I've got to be fair, and you deserve it. So the Jiffy Lube fast break player of the game for last night's game is, the password is HB for Harrison Barnes.
I mean, you said it too, like, you play bad, we'll talk about it. You play well, we'll talk about it as well.
No, that's right. I mean, we have to be fair. This isn't just like, again, I don't have any stake in any of this. People think I like players or don't like players, whatever. That's not the case. You know, like, I've got to call it as straight as I can, as I'm watching, as I'm reporting, as I'm asking questions, all that stuff. Let's get into this nuanced conversation. Mike Brown in postgame last night, he had a couple of interesting takes, I think that they were quote worthy, and I would have pulled the audio, but it would have been too difficult to do. And, you know, in an 8 or 9 minute interview, he did say, for all of us to go through this is an invaluable learning experience. And he said, like, look, I want to win every frickin' game. And he said that term multiple times. He used that word, every game. We want to win if we're the Sacramento Kings. That's what he kept saying. But at the same time, you have to understand that sometimes you don't win. And the value of this is immeasurable, that this group of players needs to go through this. And I think, Jesse, it lends us to like this really interesting discussion, because I don't think what Mike Brown is talking about moral victories. I think what he's talking about is, like, he wants to coach his team for 10 years at least. And the beginning stages of a playoff run are difficult. They're like, when you start to become a playoff team and you jump and you win, was it 18 games more than they had won the previous year last season? Last season, they went from a 30-win team.
They went from a non-playoff team to the 3 seed in the West.
But it was a 30-win team to a 48-win team.
Yeah.
18-game jump. There's going to be some growing pains from skipping steps. And then you get to this season, and they're going to take a step back in wins and losses. There's no way for them to get to 48. But there is a way for them to get to 46. There is a way to get to 47. And that kind of tells you it's a very similar season, but it didn't feel similar. And so I don't believe what Mike is going for is moral victories. What he is saying is that this is a process. Developing a team is a process. And like I'd even say this, Jesse, if we keep talking about how amazing the play-in tournament's been, right? How it's helped the game. If there was no play-in tournament, the Kings would still be the odds-on favorite right now to be the 8 seed in the Western Conference. Like, whether that's a good thing or not, that probably not, because you're going to play the Denver Nuggets in the first round. But the fact that you still have an opportunity to get to 7, that you could play a Minnesota Timberwolves or an Oklahoma City team that you've had success against this year, like, this is still why you're in it. You're in it for the growth. You're in it for the learning process. Sometimes you got to take your lumps, man, to get to the next level.
Lost, even though it's looked horrible. Like, not horrible. It's too tough of a word. It just doesn't look great all season. Like, not all is lost. They can still make the playoffs. We can still see the Kings in a 7-game series, like you said, against the Timberwolves or the Thunder. I'm not going to go out and say, oh, yeah, they can still win a playoff series or whatever, but more so still make the season a success. Because for me, if they don't make the playoffs, I'd say the season is unsuccessful. But as a whole in this build, I don't think, like there's really been too many steps taken back. Like, you take a step back or whatever, and you look at the whole context of all this, like, sure, you missed the playoffs or whatever. It's going to be a little bit more complicated for Monty McNair to make a deal. But also, you could see, like, if you're able to get Malik Monk here, like, you know where you need to fix this team. It's not more so we're searching. We're not searching for one of the top guys. We have both of the All-NBA players or whatever. We got Malik Monk. Hopefully, we get signed back. Keon Ellis has been a big, big revelation for the team this year. And I just think, like, there's the steps are you can see the steps in front of you that they need to take.
Yeah, it's what we're looking at is a summer of a reload, not a rebuild.
Yeah.
And I think that that's okay. Like, this team clearly needs some changes, right? It you just do. You've got to figure out a way to fill some of the holes in this roster, to change the general vibe of some of the positions on the court. And it's something that, like, look, I don't think it matters win or lose in the playoffs at this point. This isn't a championship contender, like, just straight up. Like, this season, who they are today, who they have been the whole season, I didn't like it when we heard that early in the year. But
I was literally going to say right now, Soren threw it in the chat too. We went from Mike Brown saying want to be contenders this season to that. I'm not worried about the comment yesterday, but I didn't like them talking about we want to win, like, this year we're contenders and stuff like that.
Yeah, but why not talk about goals, right? Like, why not talk about wanting to be bigger and badder than maybe you can be? Because who knows? Like, we don't know. We didn't know that that team could take an 18-win jump the previous year. We didn't know that they could have the highest offensive rating in the history of the game. So why not? If you make some tweaks, you improve your defense, you have a similar offense, and let's say you win a few more games at home than you did the previous year. There was a clear recipe for this team to improve. The fact is, none of that happened. But it doesn't mean that this season is a total failure. Because I think we can point to, at the end of the day, this team did learn how to play defense. They get better defensively. We also know exactly how they have to move forward.
Like, and I think that's the biggest thing, too. There's no, like, fog in front of it. Like, we just, like you said, we know how they need to move forward.
Yeah, exactly. And then I would also say this, too. I know, like, fans are, like, very, very upset right now. And I get it. And, like, again, I'm not going to tell you how to fan. Like, if you want to boo, that's fine. If you want to cheer your team all the way when they're losing by 25 and you just want to try to be there for them and support them, that's fine too. But I think you also have to look at Mike Brown's perspective and you have to look at the player's perspective on this. They don't own the 16-year drought. That has nothing to do with them.
I'm sure there's players in that locker room, honestly, who are like, 16-year drought has nothing to do with me.
Well, I mean,
not in a bad way, but more so like they just weren't here for that.
Yeah, like Colby Jones was like 3 when that drought started.
Colby Jones, what does the 16-year drought mean to you? I don't know. I got my license when it ended.
Yeah, like I don't even know. Like, so I think that they're like, while fans want it all right now and you want to find success right now, you also have to look at the perspective of the people who are playing the games. It's a coach who's in his second year in Sacramento. A dysfunctional franchise that has like done so many things to hurt themselves over the last, you know, 2 decades that it's not even funny. But now we have this thing where, like, you're in it. Like, this has been a playoff team all season long.
Yeah, they've done a 180.
Yeah.
From what they used to be, definitely, no doubt.
No, totally. So that's where I would be like, hey, look, you can feel the angst and the weight of that 16-year playoff drought. But maybe as fans, you wear that. And you don't put that on the players.
Well, yeah, because the fans are the ones who are there every year.
Yeah, yeah. And I get it. I get why fans want more and why they're frustrated and why they're angry and they want to turn to social media and just go bonkers at the end of a game. But at the same time, like, have some perspective. At least try to. Because when a coach says, you know, like, look, we're learning, he means his team today. He does not mean the 2017 Sacramento Kings. He doesn't mean the 2013 Sacramento Kings. He means this group right here has to go through some of this stuff. And they haven't found success going through it, but hopefully they're learning from it. And if they're not, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the thing. Like, didn't happen this year, that's fine. If it's happening in year 3, that's when it's an issue for me and stuff like that. You got to, like, just honestly, like, take progressions, I think, each year. Like, this year, there wasn't that many. Like I said, Keon played well, though. But, like, next year, like, if they're going through the same issues, then, yeah, that's kind of where you kind of start looking sideways or whatever at the team.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Even in year two of the 1999-2000 Sacramento Kings, they win 44 games. They go 44-38. They're fifth in the Pacific Division. They get bounced in the first round by the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, just keep that in the back of your mind.
I will fight back on that a little bit. I feel like the game's a little bit different. Things happen a lot faster now. Like, it's not more so like you just let it, like teams will lap you. Like, you can end up like the Atlanta Hawks or even the Dallas Mavericks from a couple of years ago, where, like, you make the conference finals and it's like, okay, like, yeah, we're just gonna develop and stuff like that. And it's just, you never made your, like, you never took your shot, you know?
Yeah, but haven't we seen the Denver Nuggets do that same thing and then build back up and get to the point? Like, maybe they skipped a step or two during the bubble, and then all of a sudden they've got to work their way back up, and now we see where they are. I mean, like, look, it's usually a process in the NBA unless you go out, and I think Mike even said this, somebody said this the other day. It's not like LeBron and Chris Bosh and joined Dwayne Wade in Miami, and even that team took an extra year.
Yeah. Right?
That team took an extra year to get to the to win a championship. So I think it's just an interesting perspective to have, and I don't think that people should be bagging on the team right now. Like, let this thing play out. Let's see where they go, and then you can be frustrated afterwards, but also remember that this is part of a much larger build, a years-long build.
It does take time.
Yeah. The other thing, Jesse, that we'll get to, just as Damian Barling joins us here on the handoff, is was the national media right about the injury issue? Like,
I don't know, because this team wasn't playing well when they were healthy. Like, they weren't totally playing well. They didn't look like they did last season.
I get that, but, I mean, if we were to add Trey Lyles in the first 13 games of the season, would this team be better? If we were to kind of move stuff around in a different way, would they be better than they are today? And I don't want to say, like, oh, they're all right. But I also say, like, the perspective is that, no, the Kings weren't only good last year because they stayed healthy the whole year. But I would also say you can't then flip around and say, well, we would have been better this year if we were healthy the whole year.
See, I don't necessarily agree totally with that. Like I said, they were healthy at one point. They were healthy at times this season, and, like, it just didn't look great. So I'm not going to put, like, all the injuries and, like, say that's all on that.
We can't use Malik Monk's injury over the last couple of weeks to be an excuse for the way they played the entire season.
No, but you can say that they would probably already be a playoff team if he was there, or there's a chance.
I don't think I can say that at all.
Yeah, I'm with Dame.
Yeah, I don't think I can say that at all. Now, I don't agree. Like, this team, you know, you can watch, you know, games like New York. You can watch games like Boston. You can watch games like
OKC. Dallas,
thank
games.
You. Thank you. The Oklahoma City game. Yeah. I'll focus on those three. You could look at games like those and go, okay, Malik would have settled things down. We believe Malik would have settled things down. In our mind, we can tell ourselves, like, yeah, that's what Malik does, but Malik has off nights too. Like, mm-hmm. Malik has tough nights. I think anything, you know, we're doing right now, like, if the Kings win their next two, I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure that they will, but if they win their next two, that puts them at 47 wins. They've lost, arguably, some would argue he's their second best player. I think everyone would argue he's their third best player. They lost him for the final most important stretch of the season. But he was here when they lost to Charlotte. He was here when they lost to Detroit. He was here when they lost to all those other teams. And this goes back to the remark that De'Aaron made that kind of drove me nuts at the time. And I get what he was saying. He was 100% right. He said, it's no, you know, it sucks. It's one loss in the loss column. You're right. Until today. Now it's a lot more. Because you're the only team that this has happened to. And so I think we look at, it's a drastically different team without Malik Monk. There's no question about that. It's a drastically different team with their two guard depth gone, starting and otherwise gone. It's a completely different team. I hope the national media, who was critical of this team's success last year because of how healthy they were, is willing to make the same excuses for the Sacramento Kings that they were willing to make for the New Orleans Pelicans last year and the Minnesota Timberwolves last year. Malik Monk is out. Kevin Huerter is out. That has caused some issues here with this team. It's why I don't have a lot of confidence going into tonight's game, and it's why I am of the belief you give me one game, Sacramento versus anybody, winning in, I'll take Sacramento in that game. But you have to win like a series of games. Man, that's tough for me. Even if you lose one and you have the opportunity to be winning in the second one, I'll take that. The only thing where I'd write Sacramento off is the 9-10. It's like I can't see it with the way that they're made right now. I can't see it. But I think we're using Malik's injury to cover up for a lot of issues that this team has had all year.
No, I haven't used that as the excuse why they're losing all these games. But I certainly understand that they can't function
absolutely
without him.
Absolutely.
In the same way that, like, if you take away Devin Booker, which I'm not saying that Malik is as good as Devin Booker, but, like, if you're looking at the second or third best player on the Suns, if you're looking at the second or third best player on the Lakers,
you can do it for any team,
or the Golden State Warriors, you're going to have a tough time. Mm-hmm. And the fact is that the Kings weren't built to withstand this one specific player. And really, I don't even think it's as much like the points and like the energy that Malik brings. It's his impact on the players around him.
Well, it's you know, we did the points thing with Huerter and Monk. Our consistent line is you lost 25 points out the gate with the possibility mm-hmm. of 50. But it's the way those two create the points that has completely changed the way this team has to operate.
Yes.
They have one creator right now in De'Aaron Fox. Davion can only do so much. Like, I was watching this last night really closely because they made a conscious effort to try to get to the basket. They made a conscious effort to try to do other things. Some would say, like, maybe they passed up some looks, and maybe it was too conscious of an effort to stay away from that, you know, 50-plus number of 58 threes that they shot the other night. But Davion can create, and he can penetrate. He could, like, try to lay it in. Like, you're going to you meet a rim protector, you're going to have a problem. You meet a guy like Valanciunas, Chet Holmgren. Like, that's, you might get by once. You might get by twice. You're not going to be able to make a living out of doing that during the game. Malik's going to go up. He's going to challenge you. He's going to challenge Chet. He's going to challenge Valanciunas. Block the shot. Anthony Davis, block the shot. Kevon Looney, block the dunk. Draymond Green, any of them. Davion can't do that. So you're left, and I think Davion does some really, really good things, but he can't do that, right? So you're left with De'Aaron and De'Aaron only, and it creates limitations. Like, I think Keegan is doing his best, right? But he's not
ready.
He's not that shot creator. Like, he's. I think there's another thing. We haven't talked about this. We're gonna do it. We're gonna do it today because I put it off. I had it in the notes after Adam Silver talked. The change, I think it's absolutely incredible that Adam Silver consciously and admittedly told the officials we're going to change how we, because too many general managers and coaches and stupid ass media people like Brian Windhorst are complaining that there's too much offense. Okay, you fundamentally changed the game in that aspect. Now De'Aaron and Domas can't get calls anymore. They already didn't get calls. Now you're running this restrictive form of offense that you put out there in the middle of the goddamn season, and you're wondering why these guys aren't going to the foul line.
Yeah, tough look.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that? You change the way you officiate the game in the middle of the season, and we're walking around wondering why Sacramento can't score more than 107 points anymore? Come on, man. There's a lot of things at play. I'm not excusing the Sacramento Kings for their early season struggles. I think the frustrations, I think the things that the Sacramento Kings have done wrong this year are like manifesting themselves right now. We're seeing it right now. But I also think they're restricted by whatever this nonsense is that Adam Silver has put into play, and the fact that they're without two of their best players or two of their best scorers.
It's all just way too much for them to overcome at this point in the season, I feel like.
But and that's the other thing. It's not to me. They scored 120 something last night. I don't know how locked in Phoenix is to tonight's game. I really don't, because we keep talking, we got to go. I'm not done.
You got 30 seconds.
I've got a lot. How much?
30 seconds.
Yeah.
We keep talking about how important these games are. How important these games are. Look, the Kings and Suns play tonight. They both play Sunday. They're both going to play a postseason game. I don't know that Phoenix is coming in here like, oh my God, we got to win this. This game isn't win or go home. This game isn't life or death. But when you get into a win or go home game with Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and those guys, that's where I'll get a little nervous. But that's where I'll feel Domas and De'Aaron will be amplified as well. Give me one game, and I'll take the Sacramento Kings.
All right.
I just don't know if they can get that one game, though.
We'll see if they will. It's going to be difficult. All right. Thanks for tuning in to the Insiders. More D'Lo and Casey coming up there. I think Damian's going to be screaming for 4 hours straight, and Kenny will probably be as well. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Jesse, for filling in a whole bunch this week. You are the potatoes here on ham and the side dishes here on the Insiders here on ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.